I was in a meeting on Thursday evening, and after the meeting, as we discussed the needs of the body, I decided to change my message that I had planned for everyone today. I had worked on this series of lessons. I felt like it was fairly ingenious. All the themes were on the word march. His truth is marching on, marching in the light of God, and on and on. And I had prayed over it and was putting time into it. And then after the meeting, I had to throw it all out. So today I initially expressed my resentments to all the people who were in that meeting and asked for your forgiveness. And prayerfully, God can use this message today to take us closer to where He wants us to be. Today we're going to talk about being created for God's glory. Being created for God's glory. Let's pray together. Our God and Father in heaven, thank you for having created us in your image. Thank you that you care for each and every one of us to the point that you know the number of hairs on our head. Thank you for your vision for us. Thank you for sending Jesus to redeem us, to give us the hope of eternal life, and to give us true meaning and purpose in this life. And we pray this all in His name. Amen. Do you ever ask yourself, why did God put you on this planet? What are you here for? I think that's a question that all human beings should entertain from time to time. What am I here for? What did God create me for? And I think the answers to that question as we go throughout life are many, but I think there's one central thing that we can focus on, because, you know, God created all things. You know, if you know, one of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 19, and I've been going through the Psalms, and I try to take some of them to memory. But in Psalm 19, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes throughout the earth, their words throughout the entire world. And that God created the heavens and the earth and the sun, because they all give Him glory. They all exalt His name. And then God created us. And He created us too, to give Him glory and honor, to give Him praise. And when you read the Bible, and I was reading through the book of Isaiah, and in Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah is talking about how the Israelites, who are now in exile, they're in Babylonian captivity, but even in that, God has vision and hope for them. And in verse 1 of Isaiah 43, he says, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by my name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons and daughters from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God created you for His glory. There may be some days when you don't feel so glorious yourself, and you focus on all your faults and shortcomings. But God even allowed you to have them because as you overcome them, you bring Him glory. In Isaiah 43, in the contemporary English version, says, "They are my people. I created each of them to bring honor to me." God knew you before you were born, and as you came into this world, He created you so that in your life you would give Him honor. That through your gifts and your experiences and even through your pain, you would give Him honor and glory. Here's some other scriptures. Psalm 29, verse 2 says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness." You know, God's word translation just says, "Give to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Give to the Lord glory and power. Give to the Lord the glory His name deserves." He wants to do that through your life, through your existence on this planet. God wants your life to give Him glory. Psalm 115, verse 2 says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name be the glory. Because of Your love and faithfulness," that this life is not about my glory, about doing what pleases me. We didn't come here for our glory, for our praise. We came here to learn how to lift Him up, how to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. And it's sad that you can ask many people, "What is your purpose for living? Why were you made? What were you created for?" And they really don't know. But God created us more than just to go work from 9 to 5 and to pay bills and to eat pizza and to watch Netflix and to sleep and to get up again and to pay bills and to eat pizza and to watch Netflix. We were created for more than that. You were created for a divine purpose in this life. And I think the question we have to ask ourselves is my life giving glory and honor to the Lord God Almighty? We want the Lord to be able to say about us the same that He said about Jesus: "With you I am well pleased. I am pleased with how you carry yourself. I'm pleased with your priorities in life. I'm pleased with the way that you love your wife, the way that you love your husband, the way that you raise your children. I am pleased with the way you honor me and your occupation, and you honor me with the grades that you make, or at least as you strive to be the best that you can be in whatever you do. You give me honor. I am pleased that you take the first of your fruits, the first of your blessings, and you give them back to me. And in that you're saying, 'God, I honor you with this.'" That's why we give contribution every week. Not for a tax write-off, but to honor God. Is your life giving glory and honor to God? There's so many ways that we can honor God. And we don't have time to go through the whole list, but I did want to take some time to talk about how we can, in our lives, give God glory. How we can exalt His name and praise Him. And really, it's through the talents and gifts that God blesses us with. We'll talk about other ways, but today I just wanted to focus on that, that God has blessed us, all of us, with abilities, with gifts, with talents. And He wants, through those things, for us to give Him honor. Because we don't have time today to go through the countless ways that we can lift Him up. I mean, even as we strive to build the families or have the life that God wants us to have, where we're married or single, in this we can give glory and honor to God. But God has blessed you in a special way with special, unique abilities that He wants you to use to give Him honor, to give Him glory. And I want to encourage us today to think about that. Because God is honored when you take what He's given you and you use it to honor Him. That's why He's given it to you. And everybody in here, you've got something. Whether you think you're a five talent person like Derek Clay, or you just happy that just to be here, God's given you something. So here's my challenge to you today. Two quick points I want to make. Number one, unwrap your gifts. And number two, uncap your gifts. I gave my wife a Christmas present a couple of years ago, and it didn't get opened until November of the next year. And I opened it because I wanted to use it. But it just sat there. She's big into giving gifts. She's not so big into receiving gifts, except one gift. And it has a George Washington on the front of it. She's not here today. I can talk about these things. Honey, if you're looking at this online, forgive me today. But sometimes God gives us gifts and we never unwrap them. We bury them. We don't use them. Or if we do use them, we don't use them to His glory. We don't maximize them. And I want to encourage you today, if to give glory and honor to God, you've got to take the gifts He's given you and you've got to unwrap them and you've got to find out what He's given you so you can use it to lift Him up, to give praise to Him. So first of all, you've got to discover what your gifts are, and we all have them. There are two types of gifts that we have. They're natural gifts and they're spiritual gifts. And God has given many of us just many natural gifts that you have in this life. You know, when Moses was building the tabernacle for God, God set aside certain people with gifts, with abilities to build that tabernacle. And there are a couple of the guys' names. I mean, here in Exodus 35, God sets aside Bezalel and Aholiab. He uses their abilities to build this tabernacle. And He also used the women who had certain skills with tapestry and sewing to build this tabernacle. And in the same way, God gives people in here natural, God-given gifts. Just let me read a little bit of this, just so that you can understand where I'm coming from. It says, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah, and He has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts." I mean, this guy had some incredible skills. You know, we've got people in this room who have skills like that. Some of us, if we gave you a hammer, we should run. It's dangerous. I mean, we can't hit a nail straight. I mean, that's not my, I've gotten better at it, but I'm not naturally good with my hands. I've got brothers who are very good with their hands. But God gives you these skills for His glory. You know, I think about in this room, there are people that if something went wrong in your house, there are guys in here you should call. There are others you should not call. Because they will make it worse than better. Brothers with gifts in carpentry and construction, and there are people in this room, and you think about whoever you are. God has made you the way you are, and this is what I love about God. He makes us all different, so diverse. You know, He makes us, you know, we've got people in here who are tall, and God made you tall so that you could reach things that short people can't reach. But then He made some of you short because you can get into things that tall people can't get into. God's given us different personalities. Some of you are effervescent and vibrant and always joyful. And then there are others who are not that way, but they're not that way so that they can enjoy you. You know, that some of us, I mean, we are so organized. It's a gift from God. For others of us, organization is putting everything in one pile. At least I know where it is. One pile is all right here. It's in here somewhere. But others of us are different. We're very routine. We want to map out everything. I mean, I was talking to a brother, and he was telling me, man, I have planned out my sermons for the whole year. I'm like, really? I'm thinking, there's no room for the Spirit to move if you plan it out for the whole year. I mean, it's the whole year. I'm not that way. Praise God for Him. We need Him. But you need other people who... Some of us, how many of you just fly by the seat of your pants? Some people organize their vacation so detailed. I know one brother, he was going on vacation with his family. He dreaded it because his father-in-law had planned out every day by hour what they were going to do. To me, that's not what a vacation is. What are we going to do? I don't know. We'll discover it once we get there. Some of you would be frustrated with that. But the gifts in this room, natural God-giving abilities. Some of you are good at cooking. Others of us have the gift of eating. Some of you are good at electronics and there are brothers in here that can solder and put things together, and there are others of us, we wouldn't know what to do with the soldering iron. We don't even know what a soldering iron is, so why even talk about it? Now, we've got people who are good at mechanics who can tell you just by listening to your automobile, I know what that is. Others of us is just fix it so I can go. I mean, we're so different. We've got people here with music abilities, singing abilities. God help those who think we have those abilities when we don't. Some of you are good at writing. Others of us, you know, are good at public speaking. Some of us would dread to be before a crowd. And on we could go. We've got people who are athletic, who are good at sports. And that's a natural gift from God. And in all these gifts, you have to work at them and manage them and perfect them to God's glory. Thank God for the people in here who are good at accounting and money management. We need you. And thank God for people like me who are good at spending money. Others of you are good at counseling. We've got so many people in here who are good at teaching. But even in teaching, some of us, we don't understand math and science. We don't even see the need for it. But others of us, we're good at English and history. Some people, to them, joy is reading a book. For some of us, we're like, read a book? Seriously? Since school? You want me to go back reading again? I would encourage you to do it, but you know what your nature is. There are some things, though, even YouTube can't help you with. You need skill. You need talent. And in this room, we have all the talent, natural, God-given talent, to get everything done that God wants to get done. We should never have a shortage of volunteers because we have the talent to get the job done. I was in Kids Kingdom before I came here. And I think children are another gift that God's given us. We learn so much through them. And there were 15 people in the room. Five of them in children's ministry have children in the ministry. The other 10 people are in children's ministry, but they don't have children at this time in their lives or in that ministry. A number of them are single. And so I'm sitting there and I'm going, it should be the other way around. That the people with the children should be in children's ministry teaching the children. But it's because a lot of the people who God blessed with this gift don't want to go. That's not the way it should be, because God has given you this gift. The same is true for every ministry that we have. We have more than enough talent for people to serve in teen ministry, for people to serve in campus ministry, for people to serve in the edge ministry, for people to be on the AV team or the count team. We've got more than enough talent. Rotations. We do rotations. Every 3 months you rotate. Rotations should be about giving everybody an opportunity to serve, not about relieving those who are exhausted from doing so. Rotations should be because we've got so many people raising their hands to give honor and glory to God and to use their gifts, and not exhausting the few who continue to sign up. Are you using your gifts to give honor to God? Your natural gifts. Let's talk about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now, when you become a disciple, God gives you gifts through His Spirit. And He takes some of your natural gifts, and then He uses them to accomplish spiritual endeavors. So when you go down to the waters of baptism and you come up a new creation, you're just getting started, because now you're going to discover what God wants you to do in His kingdom. It's a beautiful thing. And you never know how God is going to use you until you start serving. You don't know. You know, when I got baptized into Christ, I didn't come up and someone says, "You're going to be an evangelist one day." Did not happen. They say, "We hope this boy makes it." That's what they were saying. "We just hope he makes it through the month, and then he makes it through the summer, and hopefully he'll be back in the fall to continue to learn how to love and serve Jesus. And by the grace of God, I made it." And so we see here in Romans, the 12th chapter, where Paul is outlining for the church how God works. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." This is God's plan. That we're one body, we belong to each other, and then we use our gifts to meet the need of the body, to His glory. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. That means if it's preaching, if it's proclamation, use that gift. If it is serving, then serve. We all are called to serve, but then some people have the gift of serving. They're always giving, always looking for ways to build people up. They're always, it's the people you see in the church who are passing the little notes and the people who are always getting with someone. And yes, we all should be givers, but then there's some people who just, they're just born by the Spirit of God, born again to serve. The gift of serving. Some people have the gift of teaching. I mean, you think about people like Steve Kinnard, who, when we're in staff and we're reading the Bible, he's reading from a Greek text. And the rest of us are reading from an English text. But he loves that stuff. And he's taught Greek classes, and I was in one of them one time, and I saw how difficult it was. And I decided, since there were not many Greeks in the church, I would stick with the English translation. And then he goes on and says, if it is to encourage, let him encourage. Some people have the gift of encouragement. They walk in the room and they light up the room and they build people up. It's a gift. Barnabas had that gift. He says, if it is leadership, and so many of you have that gift, let him do it diligently. And if it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. What is your gift? How do you discover it? You discover it not by sitting in a pew. You discover it by initiating to serve. By getting involved in the ministry. You don't know you can sing until you sing. And when you start singing, there's some of us, we're going to be sitting beside you going, you got skills. Has anybody said that to you lately? You know, just like as you were singing, wow, you know, you maybe you should be a part of the worship team. And then there are others of us, we're going, oh no. You make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Sing lower, not louder. You don't know if you can lead until you try. You know, my first Bible talk, it was a disaster. I mean, I don't even know what I'd said. I probably taught false doctrine. I don't know. My first sermon was worse than that. But it's like, I kept trying. And now I have held all of you captive today with my stumbling. You don't know if you can speak until you try. You don't know if you can lead until you try. You don't know how God's going to use you until you try. You've got gifts, you've got talents buried in there, and God's plan is for each member to use their gifts to build up the body of Christ. No one individual should feel overwhelmed by the responsibilities if each member is doing their part. That's the plan. In order for Romans 12, 3 through 8 to work, we got to go back to Romans 12, 1 through 3. Because in Romans 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, we've got to come in here understanding that we're all to offer up our bodies as living sacrifices. I'm here to serve. I'm here to sacrifice myself to the glory of God. I told people in the children's ministry that you're serving in this ministry. This is your spiritual act of worship. You're worshiping God. When you lay yourself on that altar and said, God, I surrender all. What do you want me to do? Show me what you want me to do. And that's what I'll do to your glory. And thank God for those people who are there serving, using their gifts to help meet the needs of our children. Most of them who don't even have kids. What are your gifts? Are you using them to God's glory? Unwrap them. Uncap your gifts. You know, as I was saying, you don't know how God's going to use you. I mean, David, first of all, he barely got discovered, King David. Because as Samuel went to Jesse's house, all seven of his sons stood up. He looked at him, and God says, they're not the ones. And he finds the teenager and he says, that's the one. And then David goes from being a shepherd boy to being a king. Who knew? It would have never happened if he hadn't stepped out on faith. You know, Moses, who knew? God made sure that Moses was trained in the best that Egypt had to offer. And he thought he was ready. He wasn't ready. He went off in exile. He came back. But God had already made sure he'd gotten the training that he needed. And now God just needed to prepare him spiritually. And Moses led Israel out of Egypt, not even realizing, or at least doubting the whole way if he could do it. But he tried. Peter, how are the apostles described? Unschooled, ordinary men. That means that most of you are ahead of them. Because many of you are schooled and extraordinary. Peter had no degrees. He just had a heart. A big heart. And God, and Jesus raised him up and said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And God used him in an amazing way. Only God knows what your potential is in this church. Are you reaching your potential? Are you serving? Are you involved? Are you making a difference? God made you for that. So as we wrap this up, let me hit a few more scriptures real quick. All right? You with me here? All right. First of all, Peter tells us each one of us should use whatever gift we have received, faithfully ministering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised, exalted, honored through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I want you to look at those first two words. Each one. Who does that exclude? No one. Each one. Everyone in here needs to use their gifts. Jesus tells a parable of the talents. We all know it. And it kind of goes like this. Again, the kingdom is like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to one talent. Then he tells them, he says, I'm going on a journey, and when I come back, I'm going to look for a return on my investment. And we know what happens in this parable. The 5-talent guys, he gains 5 more, and the 2-talent guy gains 2 more, and the 1-talent guy, what does he do? He buries his talent. And it wasn't about the level of investment or the level of gifts. It was what did you do with what God's given you? Because one day God's going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the intellect that I gave you? What did you do with the skills that I gave you? What did you do with that door I opened for you to have this great job
and this great opportunity, what did you do with it? Did you give me honor? Did you give me glory? Did you lift me up, or did you just use it for yourself? God's going to ask you that. Did you serve me? Did you honor my holy name? What's your answer today? It really should be, yes, Lord, I'm using everything I have for you. You know, I know sometimes people think it's kind of corny, even when you see athletes on TV and they accomplish something great and then they say, whoever it is, you know, the most valuable player, the MVP, and they come for them and they give them the mic and they go, well, what did you think? I mean, you won the MVP, and then they go, well, first of all, I want to thank the Lord. I want to give praise to God. I don't look at that in a cynical way. I go, that's somebody who knows where the gifts came from. So this Friday, when you get your paycheck, you need to go, praise the Lord. You know, when God blesses you with a family and a husband, you need to go, praise the Lord. When God blesses you with that new car, He didn't give you that. That's really, it's not your car. It's for God's glory. And He didn't give you 4 seats in that car for you to put all your bags on all the seats. That's not what it's for. Those seats are made, those seats have seat belts. You don't need a seat belt for your pocketbook. That seat is for you to put another human being in. And then God's blessed you with this nice house. These freshly painted walls and this new carpet and this beautiful furniture. For what? You can't sit on all them couches by yourself. I'm going to jump on this one. Then I'm going to jump on this one. Then I'm going to jump on this one. Oh, I love my place. What's it for? Are you using it? It's for His glory. Some of you are so smart. You know, Kevin Finity teaches physics. What else do you teach? Chemistry. He teaches physics and chemistry. He graduated from Columbia University. That's a smart guy. Don't get the big head. You know, I mean, there are other people. I mean, Lynn Clay has a PhD in pharmacy. I mean, a PhD? Now, we got people in here who graduated summa cum laude, magna cum laude. I graduated, thank you, Lordy. You're brilliant. Use your gifts to God's glory. If you can do all these things, surely you can give God glory. Here's our last scripture. Then the man who had received the one talent came, and Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have sown, not sown, and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers. So when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. And then he took that one talent and he gave it to the guy with the 5 talents. What keeps us from unwrapping our gifts? Are you afraid? Are you insecure? Are you lazy? Are you dwelling on the past? Well, you know, I tried and they didn't appreciate me and they didn't acknowledge me. Then start over. You're not doing it for men. You're doing it for God. Let me tell you something about hurt and pain. No one who's ever stepped outside their house has not endured pain. How many of you went to school somewhere? How many of you went to school and never got hurt? You go into public places, you're going to get hurt. You come to church, I hate to tell you, you're going to get hurt. You got to persevere through it to honor your God. And then finally, wrong association. If you're hooked up with the wrong people, you need to be with people who believe in you. You need to be with people who call you high. You need to be people who give you a vision. Don't just spend all your time with naysayers, with critical people, people who are pulling you down. No, spend your time with people who have vision and hope in the Lord, who tell you, you can be this. You can do this. Why not? So that you can give honor and glory to God. We're going to make some changes around here. Because we're going to challenge you to unwrap your gifts, to uncap your gifts. And we're going to, in every area, we're going to call every member to serve. And I said, Sam, well, what if no one wants to serve? Then we'll bring all the children in here. They could be right in here sitting on your lap. And I'm not going to make the sermon any shorter. Matter of fact, I'm going to make it longer. Because if they can sit there and watch a 2-hour movie, they can listen to me for an hour or two. But we're not going to have to do that. You know why? Because we're going to repent. I want everybody to raise their hand. Raise your hand. Everybody, raise your hand. Thank you for volunteering to serve. God bless.